Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay, we'll just continue on with this. Okay, so these are the things that Jesus is still ministering toward. He's still up there in a holy of holies in a sanctuary. And the first thing is he's our mediator. He's our go-between. He is the mediator, but he is only a mediator unless you confess the word of God. And he's like a go-between. Just think, we were eternal criminals under Satan's judgment, and Jesus freed us by buying us back. So he is a mediator because of what he has done. I love this scripture out of the Amplified, Colossians 1:22. And, you know, even in God's Medicine, Charles Capp's little booklet, it says Jesus is Lord over my spirit, soul, and body. Jesus says, that first part of that little paragraph, if you look, it says Colossians 1, and you need to say that part too. That's not written out in there, but I actually wrote it out in that part. It now has Christ, the Messiah, reconciled us to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present us, just think, in order to present us holy and faultless and blameable, unblameable, irreproachable in his Father's presence. Whoa. I mean, when the first time I read that, I cried. I went, wow. Just think, that's what he's doing. He's saying, here's the blood. It's still alive on the mercy seat, and this is why. Here I present Mary Mart. Because of that blood. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, he reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. Also, so have you ever reconciled your bank account? No, nobody. Nobody reconciles their bank account. I know what you mean. I write down what I spend, but I don't know. Yeah, I try. Okay, anyway. But anyway, he reconciled us. Now, there could not be any peace agreement or reconciliation until a mediator between God and man came. We were unrighteous and in spiritual death. We could not come near to God. And now because of Jesus' death, Jesus presents us holy and without blemish before God the Father. In fact, I did write 2 Corinthians 5:18 down. I didn't notice it. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And now you can enter boldly through that veil, into the very presence of God. You can come right to God the Father and say, Daddy God, I need your help. All of you must all be sitting here saying, I know all that stuff. Are you doing it? I know it too, but that's why I know me. You see, what I say will make demons mad. But it gives Jesus the right to mediate for us to God. See, God watches over his word to perform it. But if you do not say the word, and even when we're in here, sometimes, you know, we say, tell people to say stuff, and they don't say it. I tell you, you're missing out. You're missing out because it's God who's asking you to say it. There is a lot with confession. He is the high priest of our confession of faith. If we never confess it, you know, for example, he said there were children. In fact, Tabitha typed it up for me. Thank you. Children born in this church that is going to have a great voice in Nebraska and in the United States of America. And that was out of the clear blue sky. It was laying hands up people. Oh, he pointed at me and said, there'll be children that were born in this church. Yes. And I was like, hoy. Raise them up right, people. Come on. And so I believe that. And see, what you do with that is that you constantly confess it. Yes. All of us need to confess it. We all need to get together on the vision of this church because time is getting short all the way around. See, there's this is it, and I've struggled with this too. There's a lot of sin consciousness instead of righteousness consciousness. That religious spirit tries to come back. And see, you've got to be careful, even in a church like this, where you have to be careful because a religious spirit will try to come in. And you're like, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And that's not true. None of that is true. You have to watch that. Okay, so you can come boldly to the throne of grace and find a blessing to meet every single need because God is saying, stop your crying. Stop the hopelessness. Stop the murmuring. Stop the self-pity. Stop the groaning. And come with joy to the throne of love gifts. Let me fill your basket with blessings. See, there's a storehouse in heaven. There is a storehouse in heaven. There are body parts in heaven. And that's another thing we've been confessing. You need to confess it with me. We need to confess those things. So see, okay. One sacrifice of his own blood now in the presence of the Father on the mercy seat has made everything available to all who will take Christ as Lord and Savior. You know what? I highly recommend, did you get, you know what? You think, well, I can't afford all those books. You know what? Those books are worth more than a whole bunch of stupid food and candy and junk. Kenyon's books on who you are in Christ. And you got some, didn't you? You got some in the bookstore. They are worth it. Creation realities in Christ. There's little booklets. That little booklet that I made you all buy, you need to read it over and over. I bet you haven't even gotten into it. I don't want to look. Okay. That was a year ago. Go over. Yeah. Yes, you can. Yeah. Okay, she did.
So he said there's going to be healing here today, and Ricky Edwards says, and Debbie Bronick stood up when she first started coming.
Yes.
And it was her neck because it wouldn't fuse. Yeah. And but she was believing, and
I mean, she was young in her faith. We were just going to Bible study in the church. We started coming here. I'm like, well, this is the healing church. Well, anyway. All of a sudden, Ricky Edwards goes like this, and she stood up, and Cindy, he goes, there's an angel behind you, and it's bringing a part to you, Debbie, and she felt it go down her back.
Yes.
And she was, and her whole entire neck got fixed.
Yes,
and it was
did.
Supposed to take a long time.
She was supposed to have surgery even the next day, I think.
And then there was fibromyalgia that got healed. Three other things from her got healed. And my friend Denny got healed of cancer here, and it melted from her. So when you just said, you know, there was body parts coming from heaven, you know, it's important that we really realize that, because when I do come here and you speak that healing word, it's probably only the place that I bring. And it could happen anywhere, but... You know what? When you said that, it's so true. And if we wouldn't speak that, and so even, you know, with my son Cole or Tyler or anybody like this, it's we don't think of angels actually ministering to us, but you've always said that.
But they do,
that.
Yes.
But you've always said that. And so I'm just like, well, I remember a lot of other things here too, but I just really thought it was important because we can really forget the supernatural power of God mm-hmm. that really comes into this place because of yeah. the words that you yeah. guys speak.
And you know, see, we've got all kinds of, I could show you right in my case there, that declarations yeah. Of things that we've been declaring that yeah. the angels bring body parts. Yeah, I've seen people like lay though and go, and their legs on their side, and they were going up and down, and angel was adjusting. We had a speaker here, and there was somebody was getting adjusted. Who was that? Somebody got adjusted in their body also. And I believe that see, the working of miracles is also when there's no hand and a hand will grow out. And I know those things. They're coming speedily. But all of this requires us to be to a point where we're really getting into this. You're confessing it also. You have to confess this stuff too. And whenever you get a word, okay, so it was my keys who said, he said to me in 2007 or 8, and he said, you'll run like the prophets of old, where they girded up their loins and outran horses and chariots, and the anointing will make it so, and God will make you to be 20 to 30 years younger. Yeah. It's actually coming to pass. I know it is now, because, yeah. And it was because to do the work that needs to be done. That's the purpose of it. Because he says, I've called on other people and they give up. And there were many. And I'm sure that a man was supposed to take this over, not me. But no, you know what? A man, they and it wasn't not that, you know what? I'm not trying to put men down here now at all. But whoever was didn't listen. You know, and if you're obedient, then he'll use you. It doesn't make any difference. Okay, now remember this too. God is, Jesus is our intercessor. You know what, it says that let's say them all. He's an advocate. He's he's a helper. Mm-hmm. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. He's an intercessor. He's a strengthener, and he's a standby. He is all of those things to us. That's what the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Son that came to live in us. So you know what? Philippians actually says we're filled with the Godhead. We're filled with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and most people don't believe that. You are filled with him. If you constantly say these things over and over, and those are the things that we need to concentrate on, you're going to get to the point where you get powerful. You will. I need to get more power. We need to go. So, but what did I just say? He's a mediator. You know what? And you know what? In fact, he's a mediator between who? Between you and God the Father. So, I wrote down here, he introduces the unsaved person to God. So, I'll just say myself. At the end of 1979, Jesus said to God the Father, let me introduce Jackie Hartman to you. She received me as my Savior. As her Savior, rather, and made me the Lord of her life. And now she is your child. And God the Father said, hi. See, you know what? You've got to believe that this is so. This is real. Jesus, so we could rattle off those scriptures. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. Do you really know what you're talking about? He is the way. He's the way. He is the plan of God for your life. And you've got to follow that plan. You might think, yes, but I'm so smart in whatever, in science, you know, and I need to be a scientist. But if God says you just be a preacher, then you be a preacher. And that's where you're going to have enough money. You're going to have a healed body. You're going to have a longer life. You're going to have peace and more joy. I mean, those are things you constantly, though, have to work at. But folks, the plan of God for your life, I can get back to the plan. You could have all those teachers in high school take, you could take all those tests. And, oh, you're good at this and you're good at that. That it might not be the plan of God for you. He makes you multi-skilled. Jesse Duplantis is a huge, that's a big one right there. Jesse Duplantis at the age of 9 was produce. He was the manager of a produce department in a grocery store. Yeah, I think he was 8. I'm not kidding you. See, he's brilliant. Funny, but brilliant. And he said the guy who was there was always putting rotten stuff. And Jesse said, well, let's put fresh stuff out. He said, get rid of this. Throw it away. And he became the manager of the produce department at a young age. And then I think it was Exxon, E-X-X-O-N, pipeline company or something, gas pipeline. And they wanted to make him a chief. He was at a high position in that. Another thing, he could play every instrument by ear. He played the piano. He could sing. All that stuff. Well, he has all these talents. Does he use any of those?
No. Come on.
He's an evangelist. But see, he constantly talks about how she buys women $400 purses and when she sees him in the store and does all this stuff. I mean, you know, they give to people all the time. He said he went to the mall. Remember, it was on that video. He went to the mall, and by the time his wife was even done shopping, some people had given him $14,000. And he gave it to this guy. He handed it over to him in a bag. But see, that's the blessing of God, because he is in the perfect plan. And stop being poverty-minded. I was. That's why I know to stop it. I was born of parents who lost money in the 30s. You know, and everything was conservative. You see me. Half the time I'm shutting all the lights out because I was trained to do that so much. And I know how to pinch a penny. I do. But I quit doing it because... And God gives you more. I don't mean be wasteful, but I mean don't be thinking, so what? Go to the gas station, so what? My son always says, and you voted for Biden. No, I didn't. I don't mean, he says, and these people voted for Biden. He just told me that today. That was Mike. But you know, you can't think of that. Oh gosh, it's gone up so much, and I better be conservative. Don't pay any attention. Put it in there. God will supply. You know, that poverty thinking has got to go. That's why you're still in poverty. You gotta go. You gotta move ahead. And you can't even get away from government. Who wants them? Who knows it's going to last? You know what? Well, anyway, I'm off on all those things. Okay, so what else is God? He's an advocate. He's a lawyer. It's like a lawyer. And, you know, see, a lot of people today are living in broken fellowship because of unrenewed minds and satanic persecution. We sometimes sin. But what you have to do is 1 John 1:9, you have to go and repent, forgive people. And even if you don't feel like forgiving him, you know, God was putting that Facebook thing in my head while I was getting ready, combing my hair and all that stuff. And God wasn't putting it in there, the devil was. I'm sorry. Sorry, God. Anyway, and all of a sudden I recognized it. And I went, stop it. Amen. I looked at myself and said, stop it. You forgive as an act of your will and faith. First John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful. He is just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The trouble is now, be aware of this though, the enemy will try to bring it back. He'll try to bring back the thoughts, and that's just what he was doing, because I forgave that person. I thought. You know, it doesn't mean just because those thoughts came back that you haven't forgiven. It is just because he's trying to put you back into that. Yeah. Make you break your fellowship with God again. And you get under condemnation and you get under guilt. But when we sin, the word says that we have an advocate with the Father to plead our case. What's an advocate? He's like a lawyer. He pleads the case of another in a court of law. You got a lawyer living inside of you. And he'll... It's one who defends or vindicates a cause by argument. He's an upholder, a defender. He's the one summoned to aid us. And that is the Holy Spirit. And he will. You know what? You might be on a conversation on the phone. Has the phone ever turned off on you? And it makes you wonder if it wasn't the Holy Spirit going, click. Yep, it was time to hang up. I've often thought that. It has happened to me more than once. All good gifts come from above, yeah. Okay, so Jesus, though, is our upholder, he's our defender, and he is always at the right hand of the Father. And he's ready to come to our aid. He's ready to intercede for us. He prays for us. He literally prays for us like he prayed for Peter. He said, Peter, I see that Satan's going to attack you, and I'm going to pray for you. He's going to sift you like wheat. Well, sometimes the devil tries to sift us like wheat. But you know what? We have that person inside of us. And you call on him and you maintain your joy in the Lord. Okay, so first, go to 1 John 2. Let's just read that. And it's a method for maintaining your fellowship with God. 1 John. First John 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, my little children, I write you these things so that you may not violate God's law and sin. But if anyone should sin, we have an advocate, one who will intercede for us with the Father, and it is Jesus Christ, the all righteous. The upright just who conforms to the Father's will. Verse 2, and he, that same Jesus himself, is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not for ours alone, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3, and this is how we may discern daily by experience that we are coming to know him, to perceive, recognize, understand, and become acquainted with him, if we keep or bear in mind and practice his teachings, his commandments, his precepts. See, his commandments, what's one of his commandments? I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. No. All right. I'm talking about there's commands of the Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. For the Lord is at hand. Do not, then it says, this is a command. Do not be anxious. I say it this way. Do not be fearful, Jackie. And I recognize fear in me. When it comes, I just, get out of here. I will not put up with you. Do not be anxious. Panic attacks. People have panic attacks. And it's nothing but a spirit of fear. Do not be anxious or fearful or worried. Worried is the biggest thing that causes high blood pressure, cancer cells to develop, All kinds of things. It starts to cause in your body. You know what? I have my degree in nursing, and I learned that way back in 1960 at Creighton University. The doctors used to say it then. I don't know if they say it now. No, now they say, give them drugs. Give them drugs. Give them a whole bunch of drugs, you know. You know how to stay young? Don't take any drugs. Take vitamins and no drugs. Me no take no drugs. Well, they say you're supposed to take this drug and this drug by this age. Oh, Dad, and when you know, it's just an age thing. You get your eyes tested and think, well, you know, you're probably developing cataracts, they told me, 6 years ago. And I haven't had my glasses changed yet. Yeah. And I walked out of there and I went, fight this, Jackie. You know, don't get there. You know, it's because they expect it. Because of your age group. Okay, so see, that's how you, because God wants us to live long on the earth. He wants us to live strong on the earth. And he doesn't want us to be decrepit. He wants us to go out in a blaze of fire. Riding the chariots too fast. Up with the angels. And there are, yeah, they say that now in these last days, the angels are going to be more active because of what's going on. There's another thing. They are co-laborers with us in our prayers. We have a lot of intercessory prayer here for the nation constantly. And even Mac Hammond's wife, she's a prayer, Lynn Hammond. Yeah, and it says that they're co-laborers with us. And so is God. I mean, Jesus is a co-laborer with us. Okay, verse, you have to practice his teachings and his commands. That's where I was. I was giving you a command. See, and the best psychology scripture is part of that one. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Here it is. Here's truth. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, think on these things. You know what? He should have added, because if you don't, you wind up in the loony bin. You do. You wind up that it's your thoughts who can make chemical reactions go down. It's not, they say, well, you have a chemical imbalance, but the chemical imbalance came from wrong thoughts. See, there is so much in here that pertains to, it does. Whoever says, I know him, I perceive, I recognize and understand and am acquainted with him, but fails to keep and obey his commandments and teachings is a liar. Yeah. And the truth of the gospel is not in him. Uh-huh. See, this is what I was looking for. It seemed like it was hypocrites. It was people who really weren't following what they said. But see, and you felt so good. You'd go to church. You know, they had, sometimes some churches have Saturday night church. Go to Saturday night church, and then you go out, and you drink, and you cheat, and you so you can sleep in and have your hangover the next morning. I mean, and then yet you didn't feel, you know, you didn't feel guilty because you performed what you were supposed to perform. I couldn't do that now. We're talking, this was 40 years ago. More than that. Okay. You know what? It's just, do you see what I mean? If you don't, if you do this, see, but you also need to read this. You need to renew your mind to what it says. You need to confess it. And if you get a word from the Lord, keep confessing that word. He said a few other things too. We need to go on quite a few other things. Okay. But if you say, yes, I know God, and you could see the difference between knowing about him and knowing him. Yeah. Amen. But he who keeps and treasures God's word, you treasure this word. This word is alive. Just like his blood is alive, it's alive. Who bears in mind his precepts, who observes his messages in its entirety, truly in him has the love of and for God been perfected. It's reached maturity. By this way, we may perceive and recognize that we are in him. And you could go on and on. Yeah, here, whoever says, yeah, I have this one starred. Whoever says he is in the light and yet hates his brother, his Christian born-again child of God, he is in darkness even until now. Ah, ouchie. But anyway, one thing is don't dishonor his word. And you know what? It takes a minute to ask for forgiveness. You can't say you're not ready yet. The only way you're ready, you say, as an act of my will and faith. Faith does not go by feelings. Faith has nothing to do with your feelings. As an act of my will and faith, I forgive. I receive it by faith. You know what? You've got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I mean, I stand on that, but that's faith, trusting in God. You trust that what he says is true, that he's going to do it no matter how you feel. It doesn't make any difference how you feel. No, it doesn't. So, you know what? Jesus is your personal, he is still ministering for you up there, and you need to go to him in faith. He's your personal surety. In the old covenant, the high priest was, but now it's Jesus. And it's forever. He's inside of you. He's everywhere you go. Go in a dark alley. He's with you right there because he lives in you. And the Holy of Holies, in fact, the Garden of Eden has come to live in you. But the only way we can access that Garden of Eden where everything was perfect before man sinned is by knowing who you are in Christ. It's filled in this Bible. We have books over books written, and I think we mostly need to concentrate on those realities of who we are in Christ. I'll finish this up now. But Isaiah 43:26 says, "Put me in remembrance. Come, let us plead together. Declare the word so that you can be justified, just as if you had never sinned." Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who love it shall eat the fruit thereof." It didn't say that death was in the power of the devil or God. Nope. It says death and life are in the power of your tongue. And it says Jesus is the apostle and high priest of your confession of faith. He hears it. He says, "Look, I shed my blood. God the Father, they're confessing my word." And God the Father says, "Send those angels down there and bring them what they need." He's our mediator. He's an advocate. He's our representative. He's a legal representative or an attorney. And you know what? If you could think of it, you can make it understand it better if you think of his big court case. God is the judge. He's already made the final decision. The devil is the prosecutor. He is the accuser of the brethren. And that's why we should never accuse each other, because we're being used by the devil to accuse others. And in the corner is Jesus, the legal advisor. And he shed his blood to redeem us. He took our place. He bought us back. And he is the apostle and high priest of what? Yeah. But see, you got to confess it. What do you got to confess? Your sins? No, you confess the word of God for the situation. Yeah, you confess your sins too. Yeah, but confess the word for your situation. Get those healing scriptures. Get the prosperity scriptures. So you know what? You got to speak the right words so Jesus can turn to the judge who is God the Father and say, Father, because I plead the blood, be it unto that child according to his faith. You know, those words were, be it unto that child according to their faith. They're speaking the word. Amen. You know, and it's Hebrews 10:23, one more scripture. Now, most people say, I used to always say it, I just run past it or something, but let us hold fast, that's that anchor again, the profession or confession of our faith. Doesn't it say hope? Okay, there's another one that says hope. The Amplified. Let us cease and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish. Okay. Wait a minute. Okay, but what is, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And, okay. You know what? In the King James, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our hope. It's in here. Without wavering. Anybody else? I mean, doesn't your Bible say that? Everybody thinks it's faith. Did it come up that way, Christina? What translation? My King James says, let's draw.
Wow, that's the best one.
Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. But it says hope, not faith. Isn't that something? Wow. It's the one in the Amplified parallel. Yeah. Well, you know what? It says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so you don't have to have any faith unless you have some hope. And you get the hope from the word. I mean, it's like, okay, you go to a catalog, or no, you go on Amazon. Or I don't know, we're probably not supposed to anymore. But anyway, but I still do. Anyway, you remember the old catalogs, and now it's the internet, and you want to buy something, and maybe you go to Amazon, and then you look at a picture of it, and a description of it, and all that stuff. Well, and you say, I'm going to order that, so you press a button, and it's ordered, but see, you don't have it yet, do you? But you looked at the thing you hoped for. And, you know, by faith, you're receiving it that is coming in the mail. This is better. It's the NIV. Huh. And this is the kingdom. Oh, yeah, I wonder what the Passions is.
Yeah. You have the
Passion Bible. You got it on your phone. Yeah. I'm curious. Oh, the Passion is up there? Okay. So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always kept his promises. Does it have any kind of an explanation at the bottom, though, for that? Sometimes they, you know, they have little things though in the regular Bible, and they, I'm going to look it up when I get home. Amen. Okay, well, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you bless every person in this place, Lord God. That you open up the eyes of their understanding as never before and flood their hearts with light, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that your word is true and that it never returns void but shall accomplish what we please. It shall prosper in the thing for which we sent it. We thank you, Father, that the fruit will remain that has gone into their hearts, Lord God, and that the reason we are knowing all these things is so that we can help other people. Our vision is to know the word and to apply it to our life and tell other people they can be made free, they can be healed, they can get rid of their grief and depression. Lord, they can have finances, that all of these things are true. For God is our Father and He is a good Father. And we praise and thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I didn't feel like it was. Someone said that faith is not faith unless you're a doer of the word.